نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In this session we have been discussing the qualities that are related to the heart, and we said that the month of Ramadan is to develop and to try and make an effort to inculcate qualities that will bring us closer to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will make us better human beings. Hazrat Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, used to say to the people that agar kutub banna hai to kahi aur jao, lekin agar insan banna hai to mere paas a jao. He said that if you want to become a kutub and an abdal and a ghaus and all of these things, then go somebody else, go to someone else. But if you want to become a human being, then you come and sit in my company. I will, inshallah, in that company teach you the qualities that will make you a human being. So these human qualities that we have to inculcate, and these are important qualities. And there was one great Buzruk, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, mentioned this incident. Allah Ta'ala gave him this quality of kashf, where, you know, he could perceive certain things, and there are many incidents of this nature. That in the seerah and in the books of history, where Allah Ta'ala had given certain pious people the ability to perceive certain things. So Allah made it such that when he used to walk into the masjid, he wouldn't see human beings necessarily. Whatever weakness the person had, he would see that weakness personified in some animal or the other. So eventually he told his murids that, you know what, rather blindfold me and take me to the masjid, because I don't see human beings. Sometimes I'm seeing a snake. Sometimes I'm seeing some, you know, vicious lion or tiger. So what he was seeing was that, for example, if the person sees the lion, then it's a ruthless, merciless animal. So if the person is lacking that mercy, or the person has got excessive greed, then he's seeing it in that particular kind of, or the person is deceptive, or there's hypocrisy in him. So the person, instead of being a human being, he had the qualities of that of an animal. So he used to say, if you want to become a human being, you come and sit in my company. So these are important qualities that we develop to make us good human beings and move us closer to the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yesterday we had discussed the quality of shukr, of gratitude, of being grateful, and how powerful and important this quality is. And the fact that there are very few servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have this quality of gratitude. Closely tied to this quality of gratitude is the quality of contentment. What is termed in Arabic as qana'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. That indeed that person is successful who has accepted Islam, and Allah has given him sufficient sustenance. And together with sufficient sustenance, Allah has blessed him with contentment over that sustenance. So what exactly is contentment? Ulama-i kiram explain, or linguistically they say, al-ridha bil-kafaya. That the person is happy with what suffices for him. The person has got sufficient and he's happy with that. It's a different case if the person doesn't have sufficient and now he is feeling, obviously that's a difference. But the person has got, alhamdulillah, he's got sufficient to keep him going, and he's happy with that. Now, the thing is that the nature of insan is that, you know, we can always have more. The person will have, you know, he's got one car, now he says, listen, I can get two cars. The person has got one shop, he says, listen, I can get two shops. And now when the person got two shops, he says, listen, if I got four, so now I'll get so much more coming in. But what we're not realizing is that now when we have four shops, the challenge of running one shop and the stress that we go through in running one, now when we have two, that stress is also multiplied. And now with four, the stress is multiplied four times, at least a factor of four. What we don't realize is that there's also a lot of pressure and stress that comes in that. But that is a separate topic. But just look at the nature of insan, that we are never satisfied with what we have. So contentment is to accepting, you know, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the, that decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without excessively craving for more and more. We say that alhamdulillah, this person has got contentment. The ulama-i kiram, they say that رِضَ الْقَلْبِ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لِلْعَبْدِ, that the servant is happy with that which Allah has distributed for him. So we understand that whatever is around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran Majid, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. The gist of that ayat is, we are the ones who distribute the wealth and distribute the bounties in accordance to our decree. And we make it such that some have a higher status, you know, over others. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the functioning of the world. We give the example, if every single person was absolutely wealthy and independent, so now the wealthy person, if he needed his, you know, lawn cut, or he needed some work done in his house, then he says, right, who is going to come and do the work for me? Now if everyone in that locality was wealthy, so now they'll say, no, what was we cut your grass for? We're not going to cut your grass. You cut it yourself. So his work, unfortunately, will not get done. So Allah made it such that those who are poorer, they are in need of the wealth of the wealthy. And the wealthy are in need of the services and the hard work of the poor. And Allah Ta'ala in this way creates a balance in society. And at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala does not look at the wealth. Allah Ta'ala does not look at the poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the sincerity. Allah looks at the actions. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges each and every individual. So this contentment, it is the quality of the heart. It is the state that is within the heart. In one verse of the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That he who does good deeds, whether the person is male or female, and مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, Allah says, then indeed we will grant this person a good life. So the Mufassirin mentioned that what is a good life? That one of the aspects of a good life is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this person a beautiful life. Allah blesses him with contentment. Because happiness is not determined by wealth. Rather, happiness is determined by the inner satisfaction of the heart. The person can be having, as Rasulullah s.a.w. said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That true richness is not by having lots of material possessions, but rather true richness is the richness of the soul. That the person in his heart, he is happy with that which Allah has granted him. Even though it may outwardly not appear to be as much as somebody else. And on the contrary, someone can have so much, but he is not happy with what he has or she has. That person in reality is really in need. That person is really, really wanting. They're not satisfied. They're not happy. Now, with regards to this greed, just to explain how dangerous it is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and we had already alluded to it, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ. That if Adam alayhi salam, or the son of Adam, had a valley of gold, whole valley of gold, he will desire that he has two valleys. And if he's got two valleys, he'll desire that he's got more than that. وَلَيَّمْلَأَفَاهُ, in one riwayah, وَلَيَّمْلَأَفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ, that nothing will fill his satiate his greed except the sand of the grave. There is an incident which I heard from one of the ulama-i kiram. I don't know the source of it, but nevertheless, we heard it from a few of our ulama in the bayans. But the moral of the story, Isa alayhi salam was, you know, he had a disciple, a person who expressed a desire to be in his suhbah, be in his company. And this person wanted to travel with him and expressed a desire to benefit from his suhbah. Unfortunately, this person suffered from greed, a lack of contentment, just wanted more and more and more. So as they continued on this journey, then Isa alayhi salam purchased 3 loaves of bread. He gave this person 1 loaf of bread, he kept 1 loaf. And the 3rd loaf of bread, he just kept it aside. When Isa alayhi salam went for some work and returned, he found that the 3rd loaf of bread was missing. Now it's obvious that it's only him that was there. So he asked him, what happened to the 3rd loaf of bread? So he blatantly lied. He said, I don't know what happened to it. Yet Isa alayhi salam was well aware that he had consumed, he had stolen that third loaf of bread. So Isa alayhi salam was trying to make his tarbiyah, so every time they were traveling, he showed some miracle, and at each point to try to convince him that I'm a Nabi and I can perform these miracles, you rather be honest and be upfront. Who took that third loaf of bread? He said, I don't know. Until eventually he came to a rock and he, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this rock was turned into three nuggets of gold. So he gave this person one nugget of gold. He kept one nugget. Immediately the person asked him, who's the third nugget for? The third nugget of gold, who's it for? So Isa alayhi salam said, no, you see, this third nugget of gold is for the person who stole that, who took the third loaf of bread. So he said, no, I took the third loaf of bread. So Isa alayhi salam said, no, you take all three nuggets of gold, but you don't stay in my company any longer. So many times I asked you, and each time you refused, it's quite clear that you are only after this material world. You're not really sincere. So take everything and leave my company. As the person left, he was quite, you know, elated and excited, felt very victorious that he is now a very wealthy person. He was ambushed by some highway robbers. They didn't waste any time. They killed him. Now these three highway robbers, they got three nuggets of gold. So now they thought that, you know what, we hit the jackpot now. We don't need to do anything from now onwards. We sorted. Let's celebrate the moment. So the one, he volunteered, he said, listen, I'll go to the town and I'll buy some food. We can celebrate the moment, celebrate the occasion. When he left, and as he's going, he's thinking to himself, listen, there's three nuggets of gold. We've got a shade between three of us. If I can remove them from the equation, now I've got all three nuggets of gold for myself. I'll be, you know, so many times more wealthier. While he's going, these individuals, they're saying, listen, there's three nuggets of gold. We've got a shade between three of us. If we can remove him from the equation, we can then, that third nugget of gold, we can just, you know, divide it between the two of us. So they hitched a plan and they decided that as soon as he comes, we're going to put him away. When he came, they killed him. What he did in the meantime is he ate the food nicely in the town and he laced the balance of the food with poison. And he said, right, as soon as they eat the food, they'll be gone. So when they killed him, now they are very excited. They took that food, they ate it and they died. In the meantime, Isa alayhi salam passed by there and he found these four bodies lying on the ground and the three nuggets of gold. And he said something to this effect, that this is what the world does to that individual who runs after it, who hankers after it. It deceives you, it beguiles you, you know, it betrays you at the end of the day. And this is the danger of greed, that it can completely destroy an individual. It can destroy your opportunities. It can destroy your relationships. Therefore, if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that the Nabi of Allah had such contentment. It is mentioned that the Nabi of Allah, that sometimes, an entire month would pass and there would be no fire lit in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There would be no food that would be cooked in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Aisha radiallahu anha asked, how did you survive? She said, al-aswadan, al-ma'u wa-tamr. We survived with kajur and water for the entire month. Yet the Nabi of Allah, Allah blessed him with such happiness within his heart, despite such meager food that he had. So the benefits of this contentment, it will give the person inner peace. It will give you freedom from jealousy. Because if the person is satisfied with what he has, then if he sees somebody else with something better than him, it doesn't bother him because he is happy with what he has. He's saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me this. He sees somebody with another car, he says, MashaAllah, I've got a good car. I'm happy with my vehicle. He's saved from jealousy, which we know is such a dangerous malady. The person, he, because he's satisfied with what he has, and we said this contentment and shukr are so closely linked, automatically he'll start appreciating and making shukr for that which Allah has granted him. And because the person is not obsessed with the material world, with this dunya, he will inshallah focus a lot more on the akhirah. He'll focus a lot more on the akhirah. So these are some of the benefits. How do we develop this shukr, or how do we develop this contentment? Is that, of course, reflecting. Reflecting that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed. This is the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my Allah has, Allah is Hakim, Allah is all wise. And if Allah has decided that I should be getting this, I should be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then remember that, look at those, as we mentioned yesterday also, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at those who have less than you. Focus on those who have less than you. You will be satisfied with that and you will be contented with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. Increase your shukr in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very important point, limit comparing with other people. If we're going to keep on comparing, what your car got, your car got this year, you know, what your cell phone got, you got this model, myself. Now, if you're going to keep on comparing with what someone else has, then inevitably you're going to feel like, you know, he's got slightly better features in his car, you know. So, try to avoid excessive comparisons once a person has got, because you remember, there'll always be a better model. There'll always be some new feature that comes in. And if you're going to keep on comparing with the next person, then what's going to happen? Inevitably, you are not going to have contentment with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with qana'a, as Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned in one hadith. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Allah bless me with contentment in that which you have provided for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وكريم رحيم الله Allah forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Allah bless us with these wonderful qualities, the qualities of shukr, the quality of qana'a. Allah purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Accept all our ibadat during the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the himmat and courage to stay far away from your disobedience, Ya Allah. Incline our hearts towards your obedience, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the programs that are taking place in this masjid, Ya Allah, in all our masajid, Ya Allah, throughout the country and throughout the world, Ya Allah, grant acceptance, let it be a means of hidayat, Ya Allah. Accept us as a means of hidayat for others, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us as a means of hidayat for others, Ya Allah. Protect our masajid, our madaris, our darul ulums, our khanqas, Ya Allah. The work of da'wat and tabdeeh. All the works of deen that are taking place, accept it, Ya Allah. Accept us for the khidmat and the service of your deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, bless us with a mubarak death, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. Allah grants us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights over us, Ya Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, grant them shifa. Those who are going through financial difficulties, provide for them, Ya Allah. Those who are in debts, Ya Allah, you make it easy for them to pay all their debts, Ya Allah. Those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious, compatible marriage partners, Ya Allah. Allah, change the condition in this world, Ya Allah, from instability to stability, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah, from these never-ending wars, Ya Allah, and turbulence, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with peace, safety, security, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayat throughout the world, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun.